Okay, so please follow along as I read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now, chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And now, Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Ming, for reading the scripture for us this morning. And I want to thank the worship team for leading us in worship. And in the past several Sundays or several months, I believe that our worship at the beginning of the service is getting better and better. And just now, as I was looking at the PowerPoint slides, and I am just amazed at how you guys clean these or take these PowerPoint slides. I tried to look all over the websites and I couldn't really find them. And so maybe you can help me out so that I can prepare my PowerPoint slides in a much better shape. All right. Yeah. In any case, let us keep up the good work. Let us praise the Lord wholeheartedly and in a united manner. Every Sunday we come into the Lord's house. Let us do a good job for the Lord, right? In our insert this morning in the bulletin, there is this Mission Express. It tells us something about missions fast and also some of the snippets of our missionaries overseas. And I just want you to pay attention to them and pray for all these missionaries, all right? In the following time, let us come before the Lord and ask him to guide us as we study the Word of God together. So let us pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you so much for being the greatest missionary. You send your one and only Son, Christ Jesus our Lord, into this world. He is the light. In him we can find life, and in him we no longer walk in darkness, and we praise you and give thanks to you for that. And as we open your scripture to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and 8 this morning, we ask you to shine on us. We ask you to illumine our minds and our hearts so that we can truly understand what these few verses I have to say to us this morning. So Lord, speak, and may all of us be humble enough to hear your word. And may we be able to walk accordingly so that every day we walk in a way that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, in John chapter 8, 58, Jesus Christ made this very important statement. It's it's central to our Christian faith. He says, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am." This I am is the same I am which God spoke to Moses at Mount Horeb. God told Moses, "I am who I am." This I am declaration is very powerful. It is a true statement of who Jesus is. He is God, and he is greater than Abraham and anybody else. In the Gospel of John, Jesus Christ has made seven I am statements. And I just want to jog your memory to see if you remember all these seven I am declarations. Maybe let me help you to start off, all right? And the first one is, I am the bread of life. And the second one, we just read the scripture. Yes, I am the light of the world. Number three, I am, now let us go in order, all right? I am the door. And number four, I am the good shepherd, right? And then number five, I am the resurrection and the life. And number six, John 14:6. What is it? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the last one, last but not least, number seven, John 15. What is it? I am the vine, right? I am the vine. Now this morning, I like to meditate on the second declaration with you. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now this declaration is a continuation of chapter 7:52. Now, it was made when Jesus Christ was preaching to the Jewish people in the Jerusalem temple. Now, at that time, the Jews were observing the Feast of Tabernacles. Altogether, there were 7 days. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles was a feast for the Jews to remember, to commemorate how God led their ancestors in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, during those 7 days, the Jews would camp outdoors. Every household would use branches and leaves to pitch a tent, to live in the tent, in order to experience how it was like for their ancestors to wander in the wilderness for 40 years living in tent, how they suffered hardship. And this is the way that the Jews remember how God led their ancestors. On the very first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews would light up 7 humongous, gigantic menorahs. These 4 menorahs were placed in the court of the women in the Jerusalem temple. Now, according to legend, the fire was so intense, so strong, so bright that it lit up the streets of Jerusalem. Now, these menorahs reminded the Jews that when their ancestors were wandering in the wilderness, God would guide them in the day by pillar of cloud, and at night by pillar of fire. Now, God would guide them and protect them. Now, according to chapter 8, verse 20, when Jesus Christ was making this declaration, he was standing in the treasury of the Jerusalem temple, right next to the court of the women. Now, some Bible commentators believe that menorahs were being lit, Jesus Christ made this wonderful and important declaration. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus Christ really knew, he was a master teacher, right? He really knew how to make use of the backdrop of the surroundings to put forward a very important point and to maximize the effect of his teaching. And so what did Jesus Christ really mean when he said, I am the light of the world? Well, as you know, light and darkness are opposed to each other. The two cannot coexist. Where there is light, there will be no darkness. The Bible often uses darkness to symbolize sin. Usually, when something is committed in an evil way or in an immoral way, it's often done in darkness. In addition to that, darkness also symbolizes ignorance. people who have no knowledge of God. And because of that, they suffer a great deal. In Jesus' day, the Jews were in that kind of situation. They were in sin. They were living in immorality. And they had no knowledge of God, and they suffered as a result. The religious leaders among them were no help at all. Not only were they unable to lead their fellow countrymen out of the sufferings, out of darkness, to go back to return to God, they, the religious leaders, would add on to their fellow countrymen, you know, man-made traditions, man-made teachings. And that really burdened the Jews at the time. So when Jesus Christ appeared on the scene, it was indeed joyful news, good news to the people. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verse 16 describes Jesus Christ in this way. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light was dawned. Now, this was the prophecy made by the prophet Isaiah in regard to the Messiah. And this prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus Christ when he appeared in the land of Palestine. Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Just now, we read John chapter 1, verse 4. There it says, Jesus Christ is the light of life. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. In the light of Jesus Christ, we were exposed. We can truly see what we are made of and how we are like. And you and I know that we have all done things that cannot be, you know, exposed in the light. You and I have skeletons in the closet. You and I have things that we don't really want other people to know about. And so you and I are in need of Jesus Christ, who is the light, who is able to shine on our darkness, who is able to lead us out of darkness into light, who can give us that freedom, who can give us that eternal life. Now, Christiana Chai was born in a wealthy, very affluent family in Nanjing, China. Her father was the viceroy of the Jiangsu province near the end of the Qing dynasty. When she was a student, she was intensely interested in learning the English language. And so her father sent her to a Christian school operated by missionaries. At that time, she was still a non-Christian, and she hated the Bible class very much. She hated even more when her Bible teacher told the whole class, "Hey, you guys have sinned. You should come and accept Jesus Christ." Christiana really hated it. She said, "Well, I am upright. I am just. I have nothing to hide. And why do I need Jesus Christ? And I have no sin." And one day during recess in school, she was admiring the beautiful flowers in the school yard. And then she saw this rock on the grass. And she was curious what was under that rock. And so she went over and turned the rock over. Just as soon as she turned it over, all kinds of insects just rushed from underside of the rock, and they were, you know, fleeing. And right at that moment, Christiana had an enlightenment. And suddenly, she looked inside her heart. She realized that inside her, there were so many things that she didn't want other people to know. There were so many things that could not be exposed in the light, just as the rock was covering all these insects. And right at that moment, she recognized that she was a sinner, just like others. And so in the pursuing, evangelistic meeting organized by the school, she heard this American pastor who was traveling in China. The pastor was coincidentally speaking on John chapter 8, verse 12. The pastor told the whole assembly, Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows Jesus will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And under the moving of the Holy Spirit, Christiana confessed her sin and accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. And her later years was spent in this little town called Paradise in Pennsylvania. And she became instrumental in bringing her family members, over 50 of them, to come to Jesus Christ. And over the years, when she was staying in Pennsylvania, she touched the lives of many people, Christians and non-Christians, leaders and just ordinary Christians. Now, John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And this means Jesus Christ has that power to destroy, to defeat sin. On the cross, he bore your sin and he bore my sin. And he crushed sin and he died on the cross. But on the third day, hallelujah, on the third day, he rose from the dead again to show that he had that power. He still has that power. And so he can deliver anybody from the bondage of sin. He can lead anyone who trusts in him from walking in darkness to walking in the light. You know, Jesus Christ says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." When Jesus Christ tells us this, he is not telling us just, "Oh, I am the Messiah. Just, you know, follow me." He is also assuring us that he is God Emmanuel. He is with us and he will be guiding us. He will be protecting us just as God was leading the Israelites, guiding the Israelites and protecting them over 40 years of wandering. God did that by means of the cloud, the pillars of the cloud and the pillars of fire. And there's a grandfather who took his grandson for a walk in the woods one day. And the grandfather stopped on the way and asked the grandson, "You know where we are?" And the grandson said, "No." And the grandfather continued, "You know where we are going?" And the grandson said, "No." And then the grandfather kind of smiling to the grandson and said, "Well, in that case, you and I are lost." But the grandson looked up to the grandpa and said, without doubt, you know, confidently, "No, I'm not lost because I am with you." You know, in the same way, when we are following Jesus, when Jesus is with us, we will never lose our direction of life. We will never lose our way. God, Jesus Christ, will be our light. He will shine on us. He will guide us to leave darkness and walk in the light. One night when there was heavy fog, a battleship was doing maneuvers at sea. And suddenly, the captain saw in the dark a dim light at a distance. And it seemed that, you know, the light was approaching. And so the captain told the sailor to send a signal to that light to warn the, you know, that light to change course by 20 degrees. But surprisingly, the light sent a reply or response back. Well, I advise you to change your course by 20 degrees. And then the captain said, well, I am the captain. Please change your course by 20 degrees. And then the source on the other end said, I am seaman second class. You better change your course by 20 degrees. And at that time, the captain of the battleship was really, you know, irated, right? Being angry. And so he replied to the second seaman. He said, in a very impolite way, I am a battleship. You better change your course. And then the seaman second class responded. He said, I am a lighthouse. Do whatever you want. Well, brothers and sisters, are we somewhat like the captain of the battleship? We know everything. We know our own direction of life. And we maybe regularly, if not regularly, we often argue with Jesus Christ, who is the lighthouse, who knows how to give us the direction of life. If we do that often, then we are really foolish. And I encourage those of you who are still not Christians yet. You know, you may have grown up in a Christian home, your parents, and maybe your siblings are Christian, but yet yourself are not a Christian. And I advise you, I encourage you to accept Jesus Christ as the light of life, as the light of your life, so that he can guide you. He can point you to the right direction of life. And for those of us who have already received the light of life, do we still intend to walk in our own way? Do we still like to go about life on our own, rather than submitting ourselves, rather than obeying what Christ has given us or told us to do? I encourage you and I advise you not to argue with Jesus any longer. Let him be the light of your life. He can shine on you. He can point your way. He knows how to lead you through this most difficult journey of life. You know, many of you are still young, and you may not really have experienced what your mom and dad have experienced. When you come to my age, I have lived over half a century. Then you begin to wonder, you know, where has my life gone? And sometimes I wonder too, because I have failed to follow Jesus the way he intended. And I speak from experience, and I don't want you to, you know, make the same kind of mistake that I have made. When you set your mind on following Jesus, being the light of your life, you have nothing to worry about, and your life will always be in the light. Let Jesus Christ be the navigator of your life, so that wherever the light shines, you will follow. Wherever he points the way, you will follow. Then you will not waste your time, just like what I did. You will not say and look back on your life and say, oh, where has life gone? You know, when you follow Jesus Christ, you will know for sure that one day you will see him face to face. You know, Jesus Christ does not want us just to receive the light. He wants us to reflect the light. He wants us to shine for him. Now, on our own, we can never do that because we don't really have that ability. But because the light of life lives in us. We have been given that ability to shine for Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, and let us read it together, shall we? For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Yes, on our own, by our own strength, we cannot shine for Jesus. But because we have received the light of life, because the light of life lives in us, we are made able to shine for him. You know, as the pastoral staff and the deacons were planning for the ministry emphasis of 2012, you know, after discussion and prayer, we decided on adopting John chapter 8, verse 12, which says, Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world." And we also decided on adopting this slogan, "Shine for Jesus," as the ministry focus of 2012. As you walked into the sanctuary this morning, you saw on the stage, both sides of the stage, these two beautiful, well-designed posters. They remind us throughout the year, we want to shine for Jesus. And we want to thank Timothy for designing such beautiful posters. He put in a lot of work, and let us give him a hand. And last night, he and Michael worked very late. What time did you leave?
Very early.
Very early. Wee hours in the morning, all right? Very early. Okay, yeah, we want to be reminded by these two posters, Chinese and English, that throughout this year and beyond, we let Jesus Christ be the light of the world, and we want to shine for Jesus. And Jesus Christ once said this in Matthew chapter 5. Let us read these three verses together, shall we? Let us read. Begin. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." That's it. Now, in the past 3 years, the theme of our ministry is this: a sturdy growth in Christ. We focus on training and discipleship. We did have discipleship training classes in our church, Chinese and English, and some of us have attended the training. And on the Chinese side, we trained fellowship committee members and Bible study leaders to lead Bible studies, to organize fellowship meetings. And on the English side, we have got English Bible study groups. And in the past year and a half, Pastor Andy led a study on Sunday afternoon, I believe, right? To help people understand the Bible and how to study the Bible. And on personal growth, we launched a devotional milestone campaign for 2 years. And many of you participated, even though lately the effort has kind of dissipated, right? Tapered off. But in any case, we launched that in order to help you establish that habit of daily devotion. And also on the Chinese side, we restructured the fellowships in order to strengthen and to help brothers and sisters to communicate better, to get to know each other better, to have a more vibrant fellowship life. And we praise the Lord. Over the weekend, Friday and Saturday, the two new Chinese fellowships, the latest, right? There were two new ones launched 2 years or years before. But over the weekend, two new Chinese fellowships, Faith, Hope, and Love, and John Fellowship, began their very first meeting. And I was there in both. And it was very wonderful. And Andrew and Bill were invited to yesterday's, last evening's John Fellowship, the inauguration of John Fellowship. It was a wonderful evening, wasn't it? Over 50 people were in attendance. Oh, and Charles too, sorry, I forgot you. Charles and Winnie, okay? And it is my prayer that from our senior fellowship, Caleb Fellowship, all the way to Barnabas Fellowship, from Laundry Fellowship, all the way to Josiah and other small groups, we can really have a wonderful, vibrant fellowship life. We can really get to know God and get to know one another, and we can really call this our spiritual home. And by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit and endued on us, we can really build up this church. And as I sat down and reflected on God's blessings on the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church, I couldn't help but give thanks to God. You know, on the whole, we've been moving in the right track, and we are growing, albeit slowly, but steadily and gradually, spiritually. And the organization, the structure of our church is getting, you know, better and better, and different departments are working better in cooperation with each other. And the English ministry and the Chinese ministry have much more close contact, have a much more close cooperation with each other. And we are really becoming more and more like a family. It's not just the English and the Chinese. The parents don't know what the children are doing. The children don't care what the parents are doing. We are really emerging. We are really developing as one big family of Jesus Christ. Last Friday, I attended the Laundry Fellowship. They were sharing. Many people opened up themselves and shared with the group how they were doing spiritually and their struggles. And I was quite honored and privileged to hear that. And also, I was moved by the fact that some of them or the fellowship would like to find ways and means to take part in the church life of the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church as a whole. And that's very encouraging. And I really want to give thanks to God for you. And also the Hugs Fellowship, even though it's still very small at its infancy stage, it's growing. And it is a fellowship where the young married couples can come. And so later on, when you know some of the laundry members, you know, get married and have your family, you can come and join the Hugs Fellowship, right? And all this is an important part of English ministry. But my prayer is the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church will not just consolidate internally. It will also expand, reach out externally, so that we can really live up to and carry out the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why this year's theme is, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And this year's slogan is, "Shine for Jesus." The SIT, our Strategic Implementation Team, and the Evangelistic Department will launch different kinds of training and different kinds of activities for brothers and sisters to take part in. Now, I have to be honest with you, many of the activities are geared toward the Chinese side, but for the English side, we still have, you know, the ongoing, Belkin House. We still have the, we are trying to get in touch with UGM, and hopefully throughout this year, we'll be able to send a team once or twice to them to serve food and to lead a service You know, some of us done that before when we were taking the discipleship training course. And in any case, the Chinese side will have training on one-on-one evangelism. And in April, they will have something like the Chinese Alpha. It's not really Chinese Alpha, but it's a evangelistic series whereby non-Christians can come and listen for 10 or 12 lectures or sharings to learn more about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to ask you earnestly to pray for your parents, your brothers and sisters on the Chinese side as they endeavor to reach out with the gospel. And I ask you to pray for yourselves too as you continue to reach out to your classmates on campus, to reach out to your colleagues in the workplace with the gospel, so that we all can truly be ambassadors for Christ. We can truly shine for Jesus Christ. As some of you know, the church has bought two world-class table tennis tables. You know, they are really world-class. Butterfly. You know, even the world tournament of table tennis would use that kind of table. Now, we have bought two. And every Monday evening from 7:30 to 9:30, you are welcome to come and play table tennis. But I hope that you won't just come by yourself. Invite your friends, invite your classmates and your colleagues and your family members to come and play table tennis, ping pong, right? And we hope that by means of this activity, we can do friendship evangelism. And we can really make use of the opportunity to tell people about Jesus Christ. And come this September, you know, we are still exploring the possibility of starting an ESL class. Not just one, but hopefully three or four. And we are exploring that possibility. When that happens, we need many volunteers. And we need people to really shoulder many responsibilities. I hope if you are interested, you can come and join us. We definitely need teachers. You know, you guys are learning and you grew up with English. And so you are more than qualified to teach English. And talking about learning English, you know, our church is involved in international student ministry. And recently, Brother Angus has been accepted as a non-paid staff member on the organization. And last Friday, I heard that you know, he would contact the Laundry Fellowship to reach out to international students to bring them to the fellowship and maybe bring them to church. We do our best to tell these students Jesus Christ so that before they go home to China, to other countries, they will hear the gospel. You know, brothers and sisters, this is our theme. Jesus is the light of the world, and he wants us to shine for him. Now, in order to shine for Jesus, we need to replenish our energy, right? Yeah, a battery that is dead is dead, right? It doesn't do any good anymore. And so Jesus Christ says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so we need to maintain that close relationship, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to drink from the source of the spring. We need to drink from the source of power so that we can have that power, that strength to serve the Lord, to carry out this great commission of evangelizing. And so in this coming year, our church will continue to encourage brothers and sisters to read the scripture, to have this habit of doing daily devotion. We want to thank God for our dear sister, Gloria Tam. In the past years, she has edited a set of you know, devotional material for the Caleb Fellowship for our senior members. And the church has adopted that to use it for the Chinese side. I'm sorry, you know, we don't have the English version. Maybe Gloria can, you know, translate it into English and you can use it. But then you can go to Pastor Andy or you can come to me and we will help you out to read your scripture every day. So, brothers and sisters, this is the year where or when Jesus Christ wants you and me to shine for him. Now, there was this person living by the seaside. One day, there was gale force wind whipping up the waves. And suddenly, he heard somebody yelling for help. He was struggling inside his home, you know, because it was so comfy. It was so, yeah, so warm. And he was thinking, well, should I go out? Or should I not go out to check what is happening? Well, even if I don't go out, somebody will go and check. And so he decided not to go out. And the next morning, he got news that there was somebody drowned the night before, very close to shore. And when he investigated a bit more, he discovered that the person who drowned was his best friend. And when he heard that, he was very, very heartbroken. And he was really filled with remorse and regret. He said, why did I not go out and check what was happening? Now, brothers and sisters, Jesus said, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. You know, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Many of us have already received that light of life. What are you doing about it? You put it under the bed? You put it under a ball? What are you doing about it? Jesus Christ says, shine for me. Are you willing? This is the year of opportunity. We got 360 days or 50-some days left to do that, and maybe beyond. Are you willing to obey and heed the call of Jesus Christ and really shine for him and reach out with the gospel message so that those who are walking in darkness will no longer walk in darkness because they see the light? And let us work together throughout this year, the pastors, the deacons, the department heads, and everyone, to work together so that we can truly shine for Jesus. And when Jesus Christ is lifted up, many will be drawn unto him. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message this morning. Lord, we have heard your message. Lord, may you help us to respond so that we can truly shine for you. We can truly be used by you as instruments to bring many more lost souls, non-Christians, people who walk in darkness, into your kingdom. Use us, Lord, individually and corporately as a church. Truly, may this be the year when our church, Cantonese and English, really shine for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Worship team.